case this afternoon is case number 69419, Saticoy Bay LL Series 9641, Christine View versus Federal National Mortgage Association. Ms. Hanks, Mr. Eisenberg, and Mr. Johnson. Ready? Ms. Hanks, go ahead.
May it please the court, my name is Karen Hanks, and along with Jacqueline Gilbert, we represent Saticoy Bay. We'd like to reserve 2 minutes of our time for rebuttal. This court should reverse and remand with instructions to enter judgment in favor of Saticoy Bay for the reasons stated in our brief, but more specifically, because Fannie Mae consented to the association foreclosure sale, and therefore 4617J3 does not apply. The district court erred in making the following finding, quote, at no time did the conservator consent to the HOA's foreclosure sale extinguishing or foreclosing Fannie Mae's interest in the property. That can be found at page 423 of the record. The problem with that, Your Honors, is that the Fannie Mae is asking this court to rewrite the statute. The statute reads, no property of the agency shall be subject to levy, attachment, garnishment, foreclosure, or sale without the consent of the agency. Here, Fannie Mae is asking this court, as it did the district court, to rewrite the statute and insert in the form of foreclosure the word extinguishment. Nowhere in the statute does it state extinguishment.
And counsel, before you get too far into that argument, a supplemental authority was provided. Orlonsky versus Moniz, a Ninth Circuit case from 2017. What's your position as to that case and its holding?
Your Honor, it's my position that this court should reject the Berezovsky decision. It's not binding on this court. You're a parallel court, and you can interpret the federal statute independent of what the Ninth Circuit did. But importantly, what the Ninth Circuit noted was that at best, there was an implicit conflict with the statute, but it still has to deal with the fact that it says foreclosure. And I believe the Berezovsky court was confused and misled by Fannie Mae in that case. Actually, I think it's Freddie Mac in that case. And they reread the statute to include the term extinguishment as opposed to foreclosure.
The federal court seemed to imply that if this was something that was being held in a conservatorship, that they did not have to give any kind of consent, and basically their non-consent, it was just an absolute federal preemption in this case, and we should look at it that way.
Your Honor, the Berezovsky court was reinterpreting and rewriting the statute and inserting the word extinguishment where foreclosure appears. And what they were told, what they held is that the Freddie Mac didn't have any duty to affirmatively do anything with respect to their consent. This is a different posture. In this case, I'm arguing that this court should reject that notion. Do not rewrite the statute and insert the word extinguishment. They even concede that you can't.
Well, counsel, it's not even the word extinguishment. Provides that no property of the agency shall be subject to levy, attachment, garnishment, foreclosure, or sale without the consent of the agency, nor shall any involuntary lien attach to the property of the agency.
Correct. And here, Your Honor, in contrast to Berezovsky, we have concessions on the record where Fannie Mae has consented to the foreclosure. At page 27 of their answering brief, this is what Fannie Mae stated, quote, Fannie Mae does not argue that the federal foreclosure bar voids HOA foreclosure sales or prevents them from taking place. On the same page, they state, quote, there is no need for HOA to seek FHFA's consent prior to conducting a sale. And on page 30 of their answering brief, they further state, quote, the foreclosure bar does not require HOAs to seek FHFA approval to conduct foreclosure sales. At no time in this case are they disputing the foreclosure. They are admitting and they have conceded on the record to this court that they consent to the foreclosure. In fact, they say everything is okay with the association foreclosure sale in this case. What they have the problem with is the effect of the foreclosure sale. They have the problem with the fact that their servicer did not follow their guide and protect the priority of the mortgagee. But that's not a 4617J preemption. They have conceded consent to the foreclosure right here in the paper in this case. And with respect to FHFA's amicus brief, Your Honors, we would submit that you should disregard that. In light of this court's decision in NationStar, Fannie Mae is now a party representing FHFA. They are no longer a friend of the court, and they should not have a separate voice here today at this hearing. Even so, the FHFA, if you do decide to consider their amicus brief, they still don't ever dispute that they consented to the foreclosure and the sale itself.
Well, let me ask you this. In that regard, in April of 2015, apparently there was an announcement on the website that it never has and never will consent to such extinguishment.
That's just it, Your Honor. Number one, that was a self-serving statement. It's inadmissible hearsay that was offered at the time that litigation was pending. It was made.
That was before the judgment was entered. That was back in April, and I think the order was entered December 8th of 15.
Correct, Your Honor, but what I'm saying, that statement was made during the pending litigation that Fannie Mae had filed in the District of Nevada.
Got it.
At no time did they issue a statement like that after the NRED decision in 2012. They didn't issue a decision like that after, or comment of that after the decision in SFR. And everything they've done before that time, April 2015, which we would submit that this court should disregard that inadmissible statement, but everything they have done before that time period is a manifestation of consent to foreclosure. And I can begin with that. Nevada is not the only.
So your position is consent to foreclosure is consent to extinguishment of their lien. Is that your position?
My position is they are asking you to rewrite the statute and say, insert the word extinguishment with foreclosure, and because we didn't consent to it, therefore there's a preemption. And that goes too far. They admit you can't rewrite the statute. The part that caused their extinguishment is not NRS 116 and not the fact that the association foreclosed. What caused their extinguishment, which is always just a possibility when an association is foreclosing because they have a particular priority portion that they can pay to protect their priority lien, what caused the extinguishment was their servicer didn't follow their directive. At the record at page 391, 393, 394, 397, and 401, you can see the history of Fannie Mae's guide. Dating all the way back to June 2011, all the way to the present, they have always had directives to their servicers to pay and protect the priority of the lien. So what happened here, their real dispute here, is that their servicer didn't follow that directive. Not that there's a conflict with 4617J3. In fact, they say that in their briefs. The sale is copacetic. Keep the sale as valid, we're okay with the sale. I'm posturing, that ends the inquiry. We're no longer in a 4617J3 preemption problem. They have consented to the foreclosure sale. What they're having a problem with is the effect of that foreclosure sale. But what caused that? Not a conflict with 116 and 4617J3. What caused that was their servicer who didn't follow their directive. And within those same servicing guidelines, Your Honor, they even remind the servicer, and this can be found at page 394, quote, Fannie Mae reminds servicers that it may pursue any of its available remedies, which may include repurchase, make whole, or indemnification for failure to comply with Fannie Mae's policies regarding delinquent homeowners association dues and assessments. Your Honors, Fannie Mae's decision not to enforce their guide and the contractual obligations of the servicer is their decision and their decision alone. It is not a conflict preemption issue. They have consented to the foreclosure by the association. They have a manifestation of a long history of consent. Nevada is not the only state that has a similar statute. There are 20-some-odd states that have this statute, including the District of Columbia. And nowhere in the record will you see that Fannie Mae indicated they stopped purchasing loans from these states because of those statutes that allow foreclosure, either through judicial foreclosure or non-judicial foreclosure. That would be evidence of withdrawing the consent.
Counsel, what impact, if any, do you think of the case of Munoz versus Advanced Banking, 131 Nevada Advance, 23? I know it involves guarantees and all, but the holding here about the applicability of federal law, how does that impact this case?
Your Honor, I don't think the 4617J3 has any impact. I believe that there is no conflict, and that's based on the concession on the record in this case that Fannie Mae has consented to the foreclosure. The only way they get this court and they even convinced the Berezovsky court to find a conflict, is you have to insert the word extinguishment where foreclosure is, and you have to insert the extra word of express in front of consent.
So you don't think the conservatorship, which was created, I believe, in 2008, in the height of the financial crisis, I just wonder, is that analogous to like a Chapter 11 petition in bankruptcy, the conservatorship about whether to, you can proceed with foreclosures against that entity because they're in conservatorship? What's your thinking on that without getting into rewriting the statute?
Well, my thinking in that, Your Honor, is that that's another evidence of where the conservatorship has given corporate consent for Fannie Mae to run its business operations. They have no problem with Chapter 11 bankruptcies, no problem with Chapter 7 bankruptcies, no problem with Chapter 13 bankruptcies, and even in the guide, they recognize they can sometimes own second deeds of trust. And that's at page 391, Your Honor, in the record. And they have nothing in the record here where they've ever disputed a 107 sale in the back. So that brings me back to that statement, the April 2015 statement. You don't see anything in that statement where the FHFA is saying, we're drawing back every single foreclosure that could have ever occurred on Fannie Mae's lien interest or property. That didn't happen in that statement. And that begs the question, they consented to it. So that would be my position, Your Honor. They have always given the enterprises, Fannie Mae being one of them for this case, the ability to consent to the foreclosure. And there is an October 31st, 2013 letter where Fannie Mae was invited to give comments because the UCIOA was proposing changing the priority amount from 6 months. They had proposals to increase it, make it unlimited, and Fannie Mae's only comment to that was they were concerned about changing it. They had no concerns with the association foreclosing. In fact, they stated in that letter, Fannie Mae shares the goal of keeping HOA communities financially stable and sustainable. That's what answers the direct question of where they say, why would we ever agree to this? You're not agreeing to it. You would not agree to extinguishment. We're talking about foreclosure. And you would agree for the association, you would consent to the association to have the ability to foreclose, because it's in your best interest that the community maintain its financial stability. Where you give yourself the carve out is you tell your servicers, you have the directive, make sure you protect our priority. And that's why they were only concerned with limiting it to 6 months. That was the same in 2009 when their agents were here before our own legislature who was looking to increase the amount of the super priority. And not once did they mention 4617J3. Not once did they say federal law preempts these foreclosures from happening at all. They were only concerned with maintaining the 6 month as the priority because they wanted a finite number so that they could assess their risk. That's all they've ever been concerned with. So frankly, Your Honor, they are trying to use 4617J3 as an end run around what their servicers didn't do. They have a remedy for that built into their contractual agreement with their servicers, but there is no conflict. In fact, this is no different than the Renfro analysis that this court did with respect to HUD. You indicated that the lender in there said we couldn't comply with the HUD directive N116, and you said no, they're in harmony. HUD is directing you to pay the super priority amount to protect the lien interest, and then therefore you'll be able to foreclose and then give us clear and marketable title and collect your insurance.
But can't we distinguish between a federally insured property and a federally owned property, which seems to be the case here? And I'll say Moniz because I can't pronounce the first name in that case.
No, that's okay. Right? And Your Honor, we have evidence that they've even consented to foreclosure when they own it. Your Honor, there's a case out of Michigan, November 8, 2014, that directly contradicts the statement made in 2015. It's Trademark Properties of Michigan versus Fannie Mae. It's 308 Michigan Appellate 132. In that case, they had purchased a property from a lender sale, didn't pay their homeowners association fees as it's Fannie Mae, and their actual property was foreclosed. They were the homeowner of the property. And not once did they allege 4617J3 prohibited the sale. Instead, they alleged we didn't get actual notice. So that is a direct contradiction. Everything they have done since 2015 has been direct contradiction to what they say in that statement. They have a long history of manifestation of consent to foreclosure. You know, I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
You've got a minute and 6 seconds.
Thank you.
Mr. Eisenberg.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, I'm Robert Eisenberg, appearing for the respondent. Excuse me. And Mr. Johnson will be arguing for the amicus And by the court's order, I have 10 minutes. He has five.
That's fine.
I'd like to start by pointing out that in the chart we attached to our notices, supplemental authorities, we pointed out that there are 24 other cases pending in this court involving the preemption issue. So with this case, it's 25. There are hundreds of cases percolating right now in the district court with the same issue. Now, I'm not suggesting that all of those cases have all the same issues. Certainly, there may be other issues besides preemption. But this court's decision on the preemption issue will go a long way in resolving a lot of cases. Now, what you've heard today from the opposing counsel are a lot of arguments that were never raised in the district court or even in the briefs here. The whole argument about that we are somehow trying to rewrite the statute to say extinguishment instead of foreclosure, that argument was never raised in the district court and never raised in the briefs. We're hearing it for the first time here at oral argument. And the fact is, it's not correct. What the statute says is that the federal right cannot be extinguished by something, by conduct that is subject to the foreclosure. Subject to indicates affected by the foreclosure. The federal courts, district courts, were unanimous in determining that the Nevada Homeowners Association statute, the super priority lien statute, was preempted by the federal foreclosure bar. And then the Ninth Circuit argued the Berezovsky, decided the Berezovsky case. If you don't read anything else in this appeal, read Berezovsky. Because not only does it decide the preemption issue, but it decides almost all of the other issues that Sadakoi Bay is arguing for here. The consent issue, the issues regarding the guidelines, issues regarding whether it only applies in a tax lien. All of those issues are resolved in the Berezovsky case. And so we're asked you just to read that case and give it consideration. It's a well-written, well-established case, and it affirms unanimous decisions, multiple unanimous decisions by the federal district courts. Now, counsel raises the Renfro case. Renfro was decided more than 2 months ago. They never supplemented their briefs in this case to raise it, so they're raising it for the first time here. But Justice Stiglitz, you pointed out the distinction between Renfro and this situation, and that distinction is critical. Renfro involved an insurance program provided by the FHA. The FHA had no property interest, and so when the foreclosure was allowed to proceed. In fact, what happened, FHA's obligation to provide insurance was extinguished by the foreclosure. So they had no risk of losing any property, and they had no property interest, no risk of losing any money, and they had no risk of property they were losing. In this situation, on the other hand, Fannie Mae has a protected property interest. Fannie Mae owns that loan. And in this case, their interest was recorded. That didn't have to occur. Their interest would have been protected even if it hadn't been recorded. But it was in this case. So if the foreclosure here is allowed to extinguish this deed of trust, Fannie Mae is losing money and a protected property interest, which is exactly what the federal foreclosure bar is intended to prevent. And I apologize, but my comments here are not going to be in necessarily logical order, but I'm replying to the other side's argument. She argues that one of the things that we relied on, the Fannie Mae statement that, or the FHFA statement that they don't consent, that was inadmissible hearsay. That argument was never made in the district court, never made in the briefs in this court. You're hearing it for the first time here at oral argument. She seems to be making a causation argument that the problem here, the extinguishment of the lien, was not caused by the foreclosure, but it was caused by Fannie Mae or caused by a servicer. That causation argument was never raised, at least so far as I know, in the district court or in the briefs here.
She makes an argument as to consent and cites to the briefing.
The consent argument, like I indicated before, was dealt with in the Verzovsky case, and the statute, the federal foreclosure bar is automatic. It applies no matter what, unless the FHFA consents. Court after court has held that the consent is requires an affirmative action of consent, that you can't be deemed to have consented simply by not doing something, or in this case, by promulgating guidelines. And the guidelines are between the entities, Fannie and Freddie, and the servicer. The guidelines cannot be used to somehow trump the federal foreclosure bar and have the federal foreclosure bar not be applicable. The federal foreclosure bar is essentially a backstop. If all else fails, the federal foreclosure bar applies to prevent the foreclosure from extinguishing the lien. Justice Gibbons, I think you were the one who asked about Munoz and the impact of the Munoz opinion. That is analogous to this situation. And Munoz, as I recall, the Nevada anti-deficiency statute was determined to be in conflict with the federal law that protected FDIC banks. And what this court said, it analyzed preemption and said if the state law created an obstacle to the policy that's being put forth by the federal statute, then there's preemption and the state law has to give way. That isn't identical to this situation because the context is different, but the law of preemption is identical here. Here, our super priority lien statute doesn't just put up an obstacle, it puts up a complete barrier to the federal policy that's being promoted by HERA, the Economic Recovery Act of 2008. The purpose of that statute, or one of the main purposes, was to protect the property of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac when they're put into conservatorship by the FHFA. And so that policy is affected by and subject to a huge obstacle created by the Nevada statute.
So is the conservatorship, in your opinion, similar to like a Chapter 11 automatic stay under 11 U.S.C. 362? Or is it, I know it's a different animal, but I mean, I'm just trying to put it in context of what the intent of Congress was to do this as far as these state foreclosures.
I have to concede I'm not familiar enough with bankruptcy law to be able to respond to that analogy. The conservatorship takes property of Freddie and Fannie and puts it into the hands of the conservator. And what the federal courts have said, and we contend that those courts are correct, that it's the property that's being conserved is the subject of the federal foreclosure bar. And so that property being conserved by the conservator is the property of Freddie and Fannie. And by property, we don't mean real property, dirt and buildings. We mean protected property interests.
So what is the nature of the consent that is expected by the statute? What is the nature of the consent expected by the statute? Had these folks gone to request consent, what would they have been seeking consent to do?
Well, what the statute says is that no property of the agency, which this is subject to foreclosure without the consent. And so we contend that means impacted by, or in this case, it's...
That's not an answer to my question. First of all, you acknowledge there's no process by which one can get consent, correct?
Correct. Well, there's nothing in the record indicating that. They've said they don't consent.
But there's no process to get consent. But my question is, what is it that consent is being requested for? Is it a consent to foreclose? If it's a consent to foreclose, that seems to run contrary to the statements that counsel read during her argument and the representations made in your briefs.
No, there doesn't have to be consent to the foreclosure, but consent to have the first deed of trust impacted or extinguished by the foreclosure. In this case, for example, the foreclosure went forward. We're not asking to set aside the foreclosure. What we're saying is that the party that bought the property is taking it subject to the first deed of trust since protected by the federal foreclosure bar.
So the way you would approach this is that if someone were to seek consent, the consent they'd be seeking is that the consequences of their foreclosure would not impair your deed of trust.
What they would be seeking consent to is consent that if they buy the property, that the first deed of trust would be extinguished. And there's no reason at all why the FHA would ever consent to that without getting any consideration for that. So if their deed of trust is going to be completely extinguished, as Santa Cruz Bay is contending in this case, they would never consent, but that's the consent that they would, that the statute contemplates. And they have not consented. I guess conceivably there's...
It does seem to be odd that one would argue on the one hand, we don't object to the foreclosure, because consent to foreclosure is not what is meant by the statute. Rather, the consent that we're talking about is the impact on our deed of trust.
Well, that's what
seemed to me to be in conflict.
That's what the federal foreclosure bar, that's exactly the language that it says, that no property is subject to foreclosure without the consent of the agency. And subject to, we contend, means affected by. I think I'm well into Mr. Johnson's time here.
I'll give him the 5 minutes. I'll give Ms. Hanks a few extra minutes.
Thank you.
Set 5 minutes for Mr. Johnson, please.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I'm Michael Johnson, representing the Federal Housing Finance Agency, an amicus in the case. I wanted to address the question about the nature of consent and the process for consent. The statute mandates consent for agency property to be subject to foreclosure, as my friend Mr. Eisenberg says. It doesn't require consent for the foreclosure to take place. The statute would read differently if FHFA could stop the foreclosure from taking place at all, and that would depart greatly from a uniform stream of dozens, probably hundreds, of FDIC cases addressing a very similarly worded statute that has the exact same effect. Tax liens, HOA liens, other forms of superior liens can be foreclosed upon. They just can't wipe out the mortgage typically held by a bank in FDIC receivership. So what would someone ask if they wanted consent? Well, first, they would know that the statute requires FHFA's consent. They would come to FHFA on any of its public channels of communication, telephone, website, email, postal mail, and say, we want to buy this property out of an HOA foreclosure in Nevada. If there's a Fannie Mae lien on it, what would it take to persuade you to release that lien? Let's work it out. That's what Congress intended here, not to allow the conservator to have to confront all these foreclosures that are happening all around the country, as my friend Ms. Hanks notes, and to have to address them one at a time individually. Let the potential buyers contact FHFA and work something out if a deal can be made. If not, Congress provided the backstop protection. If FHFA does nothing, the lien stays on. That's Congress's judgment. That's what Congress said. So whatever Fannie Mae said in its guide, a guide that operates both in and out of conservatorship, the conservatorship could end tomorrow or next week or next month. So Fannie Mae has to draft a guide with provisions that tell servicers what to do about liens outside of conservatorship. Congress gets to say what happens if all of that fails. If people don't do what they could have, should have, would have done to protect the liens, what might have been isn't, Congress says you can't extinguish the lien. This court's job, respectfully, under the Supremacy Clause, must be to enforce the statute Congress enacted. And that takes us out of the Renfro case, which I agree with my friend Mr. Eisenberg. It's not in the brief. It is a new argument. The court could ignore it on that basis entirely. But Your Honor is 100% correct. It's readily distinguishable on at least two grounds. Number one, it's an insurance arrangement, not a property interest. FHA, the Federal Housing Administration, not my client, FHFA, the Federal Housing Finance Agency, FHA did not own a lien. It had no property interest to protect. So Congress didn't write anything in the statute saying, here's how we protect FHA liens, because there aren't any to protect. Congress did say, FHFA, you do own liens, we need to protect them, here's how we're going to do that. So in the Renfro case, the court was looking at how to analyze whether a regulatory structure promulgated solely by an agency might or might not supersede state law in the absence of a governing statute, whereas here, we don't need to look at anything other than the statute itself. Congress answered the question, and whatever the regulations or the guide, which doesn't even rise to that level, whatever those other documents might say, they are inferior to the statute. This court and every other court must apply the statute. I wanted to address another argument that my friend Ms. Hanks asserted to this court for the first time rather than in the opening brief or the reply brief, and that's that the word foreclosure is somehow being switched out and the word extinguished popped in. Mr. Eisenberg has ably read the statute. It says, no property of the agency shall be subject to foreclosure without the consent of the agency. So the consent of the agency is required not for the foreclosure, but for the foreclosure to make agency property subject to the state law effects. That's what's precluded. But you know, in addition, just let me gather my thought here for a second. Extinguishment is what results from the foreclosure, and these assertion that Ms. Hanks made, if I might just finish my thought about the concessions in the briefs, because one of the justices asked about it. The supposed concessions in the briefing are not about the effect of the foreclosure. They're about whether the foreclosure can take place at all. Can the sale be concluded? And as the FDIC cases and every other case, federal case, to look at this question has said, the foreclosure goes forward. The effect of 4617J3, the federal foreclosure bar, is merely to protect the lien because the agency never consented. I thank the court for allowing FHFA to participate as amicus and for allowing me to argue personally. I'm grateful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Ms. Hanks, I'll give you 3 minutes.
Your Honors, your decision in Nation Star gave Fannie Mae the right to consent. It is not limited to the FHFA. They argued that 4617J3 was not an exclusive defense. If it's not an exclusive defense, it's not an exclusive defense. And Fannie Mae has manifested consent. Nothing in the statute requires express consent. You would have to read that word into it. And Justice Hardesty, that is exactly what I was posturing. They are suggesting that a purchaser now, or the HOA, has to get consent. Consent for what? Nothing under the statute presumes that Fannie Mae will be extinguished. That only happens if the servicers don't follow their directive. So it's questionable when they say, all you have to do is call up the FHFA. A purchaser would just have to call up the FHFA. The association is proceeding with this foreclosure. At what point is it supposed to know that the servicer on behalf of Fannie Mae is going to ignore a directive, breach its contractual service obligation to Fannie Mae, and not protect the lien? That's absurd. It's absurd to suggest that a purchaser or the association would call FHFA or even Fannie Mae during the process and ask, are you not going to protect your interest? 116 is not an obstacle. It is not a barrier. 116 contemplates, it preserves, it only gives the association a six-month priority when Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac claim they own the loan or the lien. That protects their interest if they have their servicers following the directive. Nothing in the statute requires express consent. Again, they want you to read into the statute. You can look at their manifestation of consent. They claim, well, the guide is just in place in case HERA doesn't exist. Well, nowhere in the record of the pages I cited, you can read the guide for yourself, will you see any footnote or provision that says, by the way, servicers, these directives only apply once HERA is no longer in play. Nothing says that. It says you have a duty to do this, we'll reimburse you when you do pay them, and by the way, if you don't, we're going to sue you for breach. That's what the guidelines say. And so that's what can't be ignored here. There is no consent to get. There is no conflict. It says foreclosure. They have conceded the foreclosure is fine. Of course they would consent to that because it maintains the property values for the association to be able to enforce the assessments. And what their problem is that their servicer didn't follow the directive to protect
them. Ms. Hanks, on another issue quickly because I know we're running out of time. Your opponent said there was several issues that came up that you argued were not raised in the district court. I realize you weren't counsel there in that case in district court, but were they raised and preserved for this appeal?
Your Honor, this entire manifestation of consent and them asking for you to rewrite the statute was absolutely raised at pages 24 through 28 of our opening brief, and then the reply brief was pages 13 through 15.
Was it raised in district court?
If I can respond to that, Your Honor. In district court, none of the arguments they postured here today were raised. There was one representation to the court by the counsel below for Fannie Mae, and he misled the court and stated on the record that if the statute stated express consent. And then they coupled it with the April 21st, 2015 press release by FHFA, and then the court ruled there was no express consent. So there was none of the arguments that Fannie Mae or FHFA have said in this brief. And finally, with Your Honor, with respect to my reference to Renfro, I was equating it for the analysis, but that decision came after all of the briefing. So no, it would not have been raised in the briefing.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ms. Hanks, Mr. Eisenberg, Mr. Johnson, for your arguments in briefing this matter. This matter will stand submitted.